Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Facebook and YouTube, welcome to our Sunday sermon. I'm Marty Sethman. If you haven't met me, some new faces here. Thanks for coming out today for this lovely day, this lovely sermon. Fresh off of Christmas. Everybody have a good Christmas? Yeah? We're blessed. Thank God that we're celebrating Christmas for the right reason, right? Not Xmas. Not happy holidays. Thank God. Jesus is the reason. So today I'm bringing this message. It sounds simple, you know, but it's something that we all go through, every one of us, no matter what. But we all have to understand what we're going through when we're going through it. And it's about worry. But the name of my sermon says it all. To worry is to sin. To worry is to sin. So before I start today, I'm just going to ask you guys to join me in a short prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, Lord God. Thank you for waking us up, getting us out here today. Thank you for the air in my lungs, for the minds that we have control over, Lord God. And I just ask you today to use me, Lord God. Help me come before the church, Lord God. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord God, the message that you have prepared in my heart, Lord God. And I'm just thankful for this opportunity again, Lord God. We thank you and give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today I'm going to try to pause and let people get to the scriptures as I go through them. Watching back at some of all of my past sermons, kind of just like, and then it says here, and I keep going. So if you guys brought your Bibles out, maybe we could hopefully follow along. So again, today I want to talk to you about a sin that we're all guilty of. And I'm sure something that we don't like to acknowledge as a sin. It's something that we don't like to acknowledge as a sin, but it's something that we all go through and overlook as being a part of life. Talking about the sin of worry. We worry about the things we can control, and more often, that are the things that we can't control. But saints, we have to get to the point where we could confidently say, I don't know how this will turn out, but I know the Lord loves me. I don't understand this storm I'm going through right now, but I know that God is in the ship. But I know the one who does have control of this. Amen? Now, have you ever stopped to realize that worry is not just a feeling, but it's a disobedience? It's a disobedience. In the Bible, it tells us over and over again, Jesus himself said, don't be anxious about your life. But you see, worry is the sin of not trusting God. Because when we worry, we're saying, God, I'm not sure you could handle this. Sounds crazy, right? But in all actuality, that's what's happening when we're going through these things. Worry is not the same as concern. Concern is something that makes you plan, makes you prepare, it makes you pray. Worry makes you panic. We don't want to do that, do we?
No.
Concern says, let me do what I can. Pray and let God do the rest. Amen?
Amen.
Worry says, if I don't fix this, everything will fall apart. Worry is the heart trying to play God. It's your mind going ahead into a future that God hasn't written yet. Let him write our future. We got control over a lot of things in our life, but when we give it to him, things go a lot smoother. Trust me. It's trying to take control of what only God can control. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 6:25-27, if you guys want to go there before I start. Matthew 6:25-27. And it goes like this. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither reap nor sow nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? See, that last question cuts to the heart, saints. Which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Can worrying add a single hour to your life? The answer is no. In fact, it will do the opposite. Worry steals your peace. It weakens your faith. Worry drains your strength. And I'm all, in all reality, completely useless. And more than that, it's harmful. It takes away your focus. It takes your focus away from God's promise and puts that focus on your problems. I googled this really quick. This is what Google had to say about worry. The physical effects. Worrying triggers the body's stress response, flooding it with hormones like cortisol, leading to immediate physical symptoms, fast heart rate, tense muscles, rapid breathing, stomach issues, headaches, and if chronic, serious long-term problems like high blood pressure, weakened immunity, digestive disorders like IBS, and increased risk for heart disease. It disrupts sleep, impairs focus, and can worsen existing mental health conditions, creating a cycle of physical and mental distress. That doesn't sound appealing, does it? Those symptoms take me back, personally. Takes me back to when I found myself on the run from the law and back in 2009. It takes me back when my oldest son got shot 3 years ago. Nothing I did at that time was helping the worry and stress I was going through. And trust me, I was going through it. But it led me to the answer. What's the answer?
Jesus.
God is and always will be the answer, saints. He's the chain breaker, the miracle worker,
yes.
The Alpha and the Omega.
Yes.
We cannot, as people of God, put limits on what he can do. Now the Bible saying do not worry is not a suggestion, it's a command. Meaning, we choose to live in worry, we are choosing to disobey God's word. Now let's be clear on something. God is compassionate. He understands our fears. Jesus knows what it's like to live in a broken world. But he calls worry a sin because it contradicts his word. Worry doubts God's wisdom. It says maybe God doesn't know what's really happening. It doubts God's love. It says maybe he doesn't care about me as much as he cares about others. Worry doubts God's power. It says maybe my situation is too big for him. Now when we put these words to situations like this, we might say, wait, that's not what I'm saying, or that's not what I'm thinking in my worry. maybe it's not what we mean or what we are intending, but that's what is actually happening when we step into worry. When we worry, we are putting our faith in the fear instead of putting our faith in God. Amen?
Amen.
It's like telling God, I know you created the heavens and earth, but I'm not sure you can handle my bills or my debts or handle a diagnosis from the doctor. Right, Sister Catherine? Tell you, that diagnosis, that ain't the end. It's just something man-made. I know when we go pray for somebody, I know Sister Catherine knows all about this. We don't go in there like, oh wow, I hope this works out. Or, I don't know about this one. If you guys ever find yourself in a situation where you need prayer like that, I pray that whoever's coming to pray over you would be like Sister Catherine, coming in there with a focus, with a purpose. Not going in there with doubt. Not worried about what the diagnosis is saying. They're going in there to bring God into it.
Yes.
To make sure that He's going to be there and He's going to intervene and show you what the diagnosis He's got going, what He's got cooking up.
Come on.
Amen. Maybe we might not be looking that He... Might not be thinking that He can't, but we may be worried if He will. Look at what He's saying here in Matthew 6:30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now that means that if God so wonderfully cares for temporary things like wildflowers, which are here today and burn tomorrow, He will certainly provide for His people's needs, urging believers to have more faith and worry less about daily provisions like food and clothing, $5 a gallon gas. He's got it, right? It's a call to trust God's provision, contrasting fleeting earthly beauty with eternal spiritual priorities. And it leads into the command to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. I just bought these jerseys. I know you guys see me wearing my jerseys a lot. The theme of the jersey was Kingdom Seekers. And I was like, oh. On the back it says... Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. And I was like, oh yeah. Got those for me and the boys.
Come on.
So let's go there, right? Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Mm-hmm. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now the Bible treats worry as not just a small flaw, but spiritual rebellion. Because it places our fears above our faith. Now I ask you, saints, do you consider what worry does to your hearts? It doesn't, it may affect your mind, but it affects your spirit. It's like a slow poison eating away at your peace. It distances you from God. The more you let it take hold of yourself, the more you worry, the harder it is to pray or worship God. And that takes me here to Proverbs 12:25. I know everybody's been in Matthew this whole time. Well, here we go, huh? Gotta follow God. He took me to Proverbs 12:25, where he says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. We can't let worry cloud our minds and block our hearts' joy. It could raise your blood pressure. It could disrupt your sleep patterns. It actually drains your energy. But wiser than that, but wiser than that, saints, the deeper effect is spiritual. I didn't mean to write wise, but worse than that. Worse than that, saints, the deeper effect is spiritual. Worry creates unbelief. Believe it or not. And when fear grows, faith shrinks. In the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples over and over again, do not be afraid. Now, he wasn't scolding them. He was setting them free. He needed them to be set free for his works, for his plan. He was saying, you do not have to live this way. I'm with you. Lucky them, right? He was with them physically. Lucky us that he's with us spiritually. I don't want to diminish what we're going through with our walk, right? But he was actually with them, and they're still worried. So if you guys are going through some stuff, don't worry about it. Just trust in him. Even his disciples that he was spending time with, they were still going through the same things. What are the answers to worry, you ask? And how do we overcome this sin and go on to live in peace? Well, the answer is simple, but it takes practice. We must replace worry with worship. We must replace fear with faith. We must focus our own errant thoughts for God's word. The key is practice, though. You cannot do one of these things in a singular moment and all of a sudden never worry again. Doesn't work like that. But when it presents itself, replace it. It will take practice, but the practice will pay off, because hard work pays off, folks. Right? Everybody who played organized sports, did the coach say, just a little bit of work and it'll pay off? No, right, Frankie? No, hard work pays off. And it doesn't stop here in the word. You got to live it, you got to breathe it, and you got to practice your works. But here's the perfect formula for that. And I'm going to go to Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Meditate on these things. Notice what it says there. God doesn't say try not to worry. He says don't be anxious. Instead, pray. That's right. You see, saints, there is an exchange there. Worry out, prayer in. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Worry out and prayer in. Every time you're tempted to worry, just stop and pray. Yeah. Tell God exactly what's on your heart. Then thank him. Not just after he answers, but before he answers. That's actually what faith looks like. Prayer is a thing that shifts your burden to the Lord's.
That's right.
It reminds your heart that I might not be in control, but I know who is. And when you do that, the peace of God, the peace that doesn't make sense to the world, it will guard your heart and your mind. Real quick. Saints, turn to your neighbor and say, God's peace will guard your heart. Now, freedom from worry does not happen overnight. It's a daily choice to trust God. One moment at a time. Now look what it says here, back to Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You guys getting something from this?
Amen.
Now I'm going to jump ahead to a story in the Bible, which I really think goes hand in hand with the Old Testament telling us what to do. And it's in Exodus 16. And I'm going to go through this whole chapter. I told Pastor, I said, I'm going to go through a whole chapter today because God put it in my heart to expose, to enlighten the church with this story. And again, like I said, it goes hand in hand with what God's trying to show us all the way back in the Old Testament. Exodus 16. This is, if you guys aren't familiar with Exodus, this is the chapter where God put it in Moses' heart to lead his people out of Egypt, out of slavery. And this is in the middle. This is after all the miracle signs that he showed them and what he did to Egypt. Exodus 16:1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread till we got full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from the heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. See, he's testing them. He showed them all the miracles. Now he's testing them. Because they're already in the frame of mind. We're like, we ain't going to make it. Verse 5. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also Moses said, This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the children of Israel speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am your Lord, the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at the evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the ground, on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by Omer's, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left that part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry at them. See, the people were going ahead and gathering more than they needed, because that's what we do, right? It's human nature. Who remembers COVID, the COVID madness?
Oh my God.
Right? With fights. It was brawling over toilet paper. It was going down. Grandmas, too. It was some nanas out there getting it.
What was the toilet paper about?
Same thing here, you know. There was plenty to go around. God will provide. Just got to trust in Him. Man. Imagine getting all that toilet paper and somebody ripping it out of your hands and it's flying all over the place. Come on. So the people that were overgathering the manna, in the morning they went to go get it and it was full of worms and funky. Like, oh, I can't eat this. Oh, man. Here we go. Verse 21. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "That is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath day, the day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." See, the Sabbath was the day that he didn't want you gathering anything. He wanted you to dedicate that day to him. Did the bread spoil that second day?
No.
Not on the Sabbath. Miracles of God, that's his works. That's him showing his people to trust him. Don't do it on your own. I got you. Verse 24, so they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field." So even if they would have went looking for it, it wasn't going to be there. 26. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather. Think they found anything?
No.
They're not.
Nothing.
They found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. They're starting to learn, huh?
They're getting it.
They're getting it. Human nature, you would say, right? So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Sounds tasty enough, right? Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years, and they came until they came to an uninhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. I had to add that in there, you guys. I've been in Matthew 6 this whole time. But that story right there was early, like I said, in the Old Testament, when God was building what he ultimately called Israel, his people. Now think about this here. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt where they were slaves. Well-fed slaves, allegedly, but still slaves. Remember? They said, we were dying with the pots of mead and bread. That was their sarcasm, right? They weren't dying from it. They were just loving it, but they were slaves. But they were unaccustomed to life in the wild, so they became unsettled about the food situation only a few weeks into their freedom. So Moses presented the issue to God, and God gave them manna, daily bread. Anybody ever heard that word? Give us our daily bread. Our daily bread. He's still doing that for us. Yes, right. To this day. 2025, about to be 2026. Anybody in here starving?
Nope.
No. If you are, make sure you let us know. We could help. And when they tried to store extra for the next day, it spoiled and became filled with worms. Why? Because God was training them to trust him daily.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's teaching us the same thing today, saints. Trust him for today's needs, and he'll take care of tomorrow. When you begin to see that, you'll see something amazing. Worry cannot survive in the presence of gratitude. When you thank God for what he's done, you begin to know who he is. And who he is always greater than what you fear. That is not denial, that is surrender. And surrendering to God is the secret of peace. Amen?
Amen.
That takes me to another scripture, Isaiah 26, 3-4, if you want to go there. Follow along. Isaiah 26, 3-4, and it reads, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." Now in this verse, Yah, or you, refers to God, promising he will grant perfect peace. Shalom, shalom in Hebrew. To those whose minds are focused and steadfast on him, because they fully trust in his everlasting strength and presence, not just in a temporary calm, but a deep, abiding security amid life storms. Perfect peace comes from a focused mind. A mind that stays on God, not on fear. So every time worry starts to arise, speak God's word. Say out loud, "The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord
is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will never leave me nor forsake me." Now, friends, now, saints, the sin of worry is not about making you feel guilty. It's about calling you to freedom. You were created to live by faith, saints. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You were created to live by faith."
You were created to live by faith.
especially where we come from.
That's right.
But you know, where we come from, we make it what it is. Yeah. I know plenty of people who grew up where I grew up, and they just were like, I'm gonna go this way. We tell them to kick it. We'll do this. We'll do that. Like, oh man, I got this. And that.
Yeah.
You know.
I know what you mean.
It's always a choice, right?
Usually the wrong choice.
Usually. The wrong choice looks good all the time. It's like, yeah, look at that. Especially back when, you know, all the ladies were into that wrong choice.
No.
Not to say that they aren't now, but hopefully they're learning to. No more locked doors. Now that takes me to my next verse. This takes me to John 14:27. If you guys want to follow along. 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What that's saying is peace is not something you have to chase. It's something Jesus has already given you. You just have to receive it. So listen, saints. Today, whatever is weighing on your heart, give it to Jesus. Give him your worries. Give him your fears. I know this time of year brings plenty of worrisome situations if you fall into that trap. For us who are parents to young ones, we get caught up in trying to buy gifts that not only our children want, but our inner child also wants to receive. You know, some of you grew up similar to the way I grew up, looking under the tree, counting. How big things are, oh, shaking them. What is this? We all still have that inner child, and I know that's part of why we maybe go a little farther than we want to during this time of year, but that's not what it's about. For some of us, we put ourselves in debt trying to do too much, and also wear ourselves down working overtime or more days to keep up with the hopes of buying the love of our families instead of just being thankful that we're together here under God's presence and under God's grace. His amazing grace. As if that's not enough for us and our families, right? Funny that just the other day I was with my children and grandchildren, and we're watching Christmas movies. We put on The Grinch. Now The Grinch, he was a scorned individual. If you guys aren't familiar with the story, traumatized by the way he was treated as a kid, and he made it his mission to ruin Christmas by stealing gifts and destroying the town. And at the end, when he expected people to scream out in suffering, he sat on the top of that mountain just like I can't, it's gonna start right now, you're gonna hear him. Oh. But instead he heard them come to a great gratefulness of having each other and began singing. They were rejoicing. Why? Because they still had each other. Yes. What does that remind you guys of? Sounds like old Slewfoot himself, right? The Grinch?
Yep.
Except for he ain't going to grow a heart at the end, right?
No.
No, he will not stop. He will not stop. He's doing everything he can to break families up. and turn people against each other. He's trying to destroy us and keep us away from finding God's promise, God's love, and God's grace. Now, we've gotten past Christmas and we're in the clear from that worry, but guess what? We're past the worry it brings trying to buy gifts, but now, guess what, guys? The rent is due. Oh, Lord. I spent everything on these gifts and I got the rent. Think they're going to wait on that? So listen to me. Today, whatever is weighing on you, give it to Jesus.
Yes.
Give him your worries. Give him your fears. Give him your future. Say to him, Lord, I trust you with this. I'm done caring what only you can handle. Because every time you choose faith over fear, you're actually declaring you aren't bigger than our problems. And that declaration breaks the power of worry. Let me back up. Because every time you choose faith over fear, you're actually declaring you are bigger than our problems. And that declaration breaks the power of worry. God is bigger than our problems. God is bigger than our worries. So listen, saints. Let today be the day you stop loading in anxiety. Let today be the day you start walking in trust. Our God is faithful. And as you do, may the peace of Christ, that beautiful, unshakable peace, may it fill every corner of your souls. So in this moment, let us declare the exchange. God, I give you my worry. And I receive your peace. God, I give you my worry. And I receive your peace. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. And right now, as we come before your presence, we come against every worry that plagues the hearts and minds of every believer in here and listening online right now. We must declare that in the name of Jesus. That we are not anxious about anything because you, Lord, are in control. I declare that we are at peace in our hearts and all is well with us. It is well because we are in your care. And we are unsure. We are unsure. We trust you to a clear path where there seems to be no way. Where we do not see, we trust you, Lord, to guide us. When we are in distress, we look to you for help, Lord. It is well in our minds because we have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
If you guys want to turn me, I believe this is my last verse that I wanted to bring to you today. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Lord is with us, saints,
yes.
And we are grateful as his children. So choose to focus on the healer and not the sickness. Choose to focus on the provider rather than the lack. Choose to focus on the way maker instead of the obstacles ahead.
Yes,
We choose to focus on you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Because we find protection in you. We find mercy and grace in you, Lord. Confess that you will be kept safe by the blood of Jesus Christ. God will intervene in our circumstances. God will take away the worry and give us peace in our hearts.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. It's funny, my dad knows all about this part of this history of me at work. I have a bad habit over the years to get paid and lose my money. Imagine that, handing you over some cash, you put it in your pocket. Next thing you know, you're like, where's my money? Where'd it go? It happened to me last Monday. Was it? No, 2 Mondays ago. And it was the way I had this week lined up was before Christmas. I was going to work Monday through Saturday, and I was going to make enough to buy gifts, and everything was going to work out. I was like thankful. Thank you, Lord God, for filling my plate. And it was a Monday. As soon as I got paid, I stood there, we were talking to the guys about things, and people started leaving. I said, all right, I'm out of here. And we had been working on a big flight of steps, and I started heading down the steps, and you know, my momentum, I just started going faster. Next thing you know, I'm flying down the steps, and I get to my truck, and I wear pants over whatever shorts or pants that I'm wearing to get all dirty and mucky, and then I take them off. And I get to the point where I've taken off my pants, and I've been doing it for a long time. I put the money way at the bottom, and I fish it out. So I go in to do that, and I'm like, oh shoot, no way. I'm looking and pulled everything out and pulled the pockets out, and I was like, oh man. I like, pulled the pants back up, and I said, I must have dropped it. I ran back up to the, and I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking and looking, and the guys, there's a bunch of laborers there and a labor foreman. They're like, what happened? I said, I lost my money, dude. And they're like, no way, where? You know. So here we are, there's like 6 of us. Everybody's looking, and I mean, it's a really big, I want to say, canyon-type backyard in Rancho Santa Fe. There's plenty of space for things to get lost in. And I swear, yeah, everybody's looking for it. You know, my mind's wandering like, man, somebody picked it up. Start looking at guys like,
you,
looking for that eye contact. You know, the eyes are, you know. I swear, man, this is going on for about 45 minutes. Also, right away, coming back down with the labor foreman, he was like, what's that right there? And it was a $100 bill. So I got $400 bills that day when there was one. And I got it right away. So I kind of like focused in that area for a while. But again, like I said, 45 minutes I'm looking for this money. And I could hear my dad in the back of my head, Marty, put your money away. Put this away, you know. And the feeling that I felt, you know, if anybody's ever lost some money like that, you know, worry. So after about the third or fourth time going back to my truck and looking at things, I stopped and I said, what am I doing? I said, God, I need you right here. I need you to come into this situation because I need this money, and I can't do this without you. And go back, so I'm going to look one more time. I'm going to go look one more time. Nothing. And I said, whoever got that money must have needed it. I'm not going to, you know, think negative thoughts about the guys that were there. No more funk, you know, no more eyes. So I start walking back down the steps, and the boss pulls up, And I get closer. I was like, oh, he came back. And right away, he like pulled right up where I was walking. He was like, who lost their money? And I was like, me. And he looked at me, and without hesitation, he said, here, man. And he came out of his pocket, and he was like, wow. He said, here. And I was like, no. I said, I lost it, you know, that's on me. And he's like, no, take it. You need it. You guys work hard for your money. It's not about the money, dude. I don't think any of my guys took it, but here. And he blessed me, and I just looked at him, and I was like, wow. But isn't it funny that God let me run around like that?
You know, me and Mike have messages. Yeah.
The devil was like, hey, time to check pockets, my boy, you know? I have these dudes all lined up.
There's a message and all this. Give pockets with zippers. I do.
I got them too. I got a zipper. I got Velcro. I put it in the zipper like this, you know. But that could be a message, but I actually found a better message in that. God is not only good, but bring your problems to Him. Bring your worries to Him. Bring it all to Him. Doesn't matter how big or small it is. For 45 minutes, He let me run around like that. Until I finally said, what am I doing? God, I need you in this situation. And that's not saying that he magically had the boss show up at that time, you know. He might have been headed back anyways. The guy that called him might have told him, and he was on his way over. But I, personally, with my relationship, know that God put it in his heart.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. God put it in his heart, and I've worked with him for a while. You know, there's times where I've looked at him like, man, you're a shyster. Yeah. You know, just a year ago, I worked for this guy on New Year's Eve, and you know, I didn't have nowhere to be. I wasn't missing a big party, but my family was having to get together, and he had me work until like 8:30 at night. My wife was like, "You're still there?" I was like, "Yeah." Sorry, it was late. The job started late. I ended up there at 8:30, and I worked a little overtime, and he didn't pay me nothing extra. They gave me a lamp for my head, you know, you strap on light so I could see in the dark. That's what I got extra. So for a while, I was thinking in my head, like, man, this guy's tight. How stupid do I feel, huh? Fast forward a year later, and this man is generous, you know? And God's working through him. But again, I had to bring that analogy up. I had to let you guys know about that because, you know, in the middle of preparing for this message, here I am, not giving it to God, not giving him all my worries. So like I said, doesn't matter how small or big, bring it to him.
That's right.
And through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank him before, thank him after.
Yes.
Whether or not he responds the way he will, that's the perfect way. That's the way to a perfect peace. Amen?
Amen.
Just want to close out with a little prayer, you guys. We invite you, Lord Jesus, to move in a mighty way in our lives. We pray that you guard our hearts and minds against discouraging and depressing thoughts, Heavenly Father. We rebuke all thoughts of worry and anxiety about what tomorrow holds. Instead, we choose to have a peace because we will have faith in you. And when the enemy throws darts of confusion and depression, doubt, and even despair, when he tries to weaken our faith, steal our joy, pray, Lord Jesus, you would protect our minds with the helmet of salvation, even in this moment. If I struggle with the uncertainty of this world and all that is going on, we pray that you keep our minds focused on you, and we bless your holy name. And so today, I too will call upon the name of the Lord so that he may answer our calls. I will ask you, Father God, to step into every situation I face, and let's choose to have peace, because we will have faith in our Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. The Lord is raising up a fine young man here, bringing the word. And we can't wait for next month as well. For Brother Louie. Louie's going to bring it. Amen. And then we got to hear from Pastor Art here and there. Yeah. Come on, Pastor Art. You got one cooking?
Yeah.
He got one cooking.
Third time.
Okay. Amen. Amen. No worry, right?
Yeah.
No worries. Amen. Amen. But before we close, we want to give an opportunity for those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord. Or maybe you're endowed with worry. Worry so much upon you right now. Well, the message today is to free you from the worry.
Yes.
And if you've got all this anxiety and worry and fear, we're going to pray right now that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would shatter it in your life, that he will destroy that entity that the enemy brings, because worry, doubt, and fear doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from old Slewfoot. It comes from the enemy. What comes from the Lord is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, and gentleness. When you operate in that mode, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what God gives us.
Amen.
To be overcomers. Amen?
Yes.
So I'm going to give you that opportunity on Facebook and YouTube. And once again, we thank you for plugging in with us. And but maybe, just maybe, you never received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, and that you too can receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So bow your heart and your head. And pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you, God.
I thank you, God.
For my life.
For my life.
I do believe.
I do believe.
On your death.
On your death.
Burial.
Burial.
And resurrection. And
resurrection.
I believe that you died for me.
I believe that you died for me.
And the blood. That you shed on the cross,
will
cleanse me, from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me
for
every sin.
Come into my heart.
Make me a new creature
in Christ Jesus.
And from this day on,
I will do my best
to honor you
and
to follow you.
All the days
of my life,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? Is he worthy?
He is worthy.
Amen, amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.